Toy Junkies.
What's going on, golf addicts? Welcome to the Tour Junkies podcast for the Memorial. This is the betting preview. We're talking the Memorial. It's Jack's Place, Muirfield Village, Columbus, Ohio. Beautiful track. We just finished recording the DFS show. The podcast juice is flowing. We're ready to have a good time tonight. Talk some outright bets. Talk some top 20s. And then at the end of the show, we're going to have some special bonus content. You know, because surely you haven't heard enough about Brooks and Bryson. Me and Pat are going to give our 2 cents on it. We're going to toss our 2 cents in the ring on Brooks and Bryson, hit you with that. And it's going to be a good time. First of all, we'd love to say happy Memorial Day to everybody. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. And we want to thank those that have served in our military and given the ultimate sacrifice, paid the ultimate price for our freedom to be able to do a show like this and say whatever we want to say and be stupid and just say stuff. And obviously a lot of other things, but happy Memorial Day. And thank you to the families that sacrifice a lot as well. We appreciate you. And we love all of our service men and women that listen to this podcast. We appreciate you. Excited about it. And as always, presented to you by our friends at Fantasy National. Head over to fantasynational.com/TJ and sign up for a membership, right? Weekly, monthly, or annual membership. Try it out for a week. Just spend 10 bucks or whatever it costs. Try it out for a week. And if you love it, then upgrade. And you still get to keep the 20% off discount for as long as you're a Fantasy National member because you sign up at fantasynational.com/TJ. And if you don't love it, then you're probably, I don't know, something probably wrong with you, but it's okay. It's okay. We're not going to hold it against you. You can still come back and listen to the show. But I don't know why you wouldn't love it, because it's the best place to go to get anything golf-related, stats, lineup builders, optimizers. You could do models, however you like to do models. You could do models, complicated models, simple models, medium models, all the models. You could do that. You could do head-to-head match. You could use the head-to-head matchup betting tool. They've got the live leaderboard where during the tournaments, if you do showdowns or live betting, you can see who's gaining strokes where, make all those decisions. And all the data is backed and licensed to Fantasy National by the PGA Tour. Not a lot of places can say that. Fantasy National can. It's our go-to spot. It has been for 4 years. We've been working with those guys since day one. They continue to improve the product. Go to fantasynational.com/TJ today. Get that 20% off, baby. Jordan Spieth lost to Jason Kokrak because I don't know why. It was weird. He lost it.
That's a good way to... I bet Kokrak appreciates that. So Jordan Spieth lost to Jason Kokrak.
It was stupid. It was stupid. Jordan has dominated that place for so long. It's in his backyard. Literally no one in the crowd wanted Kokrak to win, or Kokrak as the announcer on the first tee explained. I don't know if you saw that. They called him Kokrak. Did you see that?
I didn't see
it's
that.
Freaking amazing.
That's great.
They got his name wrong. Like, nobody wanted him to win. Nobody in the state of Tejas wanted Jason Kokrak to beat the golden child. And, I mean, you would have bet a lot of money that he would have pulled it out, but he didn't. And he even said after the round, he lost it. Like, he said he didn't know where when he pulled the club back, he didn't know where the ball was going. Something to think about if you're looking at laying down some cash on him this week. But it was just crazy. It was just crazy. But
by the way, do you feel like on these holiday weekends that, like, I watch less golf when we get these holiday weekends? Like, you would think you might get to relax a little bit or whatever. And for some reason, I didn't even hardly watch any of it over the weekend. I didn't. I got to admit it. I didn't watch really any of it. I had stuff I was doing.
Yeah, I actually agree. I didn't watch hardly any of it either. I watched some on Thursday and Friday at my office, but...
Well, I watched that, but once you hit these holiday, like a Memorial Day, like a Monday holiday, like Labor Day, and you know, you got too much going on. It's hard to hit a lot of golfer.
I didn't watch any, I didn't watch any on Labor Day because they didn't play. But I didn't watch any yesterday or Saturday.
No, I mean, like, Labor Day weekend, like...
No.
You know, today they didn't play because today was Memorial Day, but it's a holiday and, like, you're doing all kinds of stuff. Anyway, that's all I got to say. I didn't see any of it.
Yeah. I didn't watch a lot of it either. I watched a little bit of the last, I watched like the last six holes on Sunday. That was it. All right. Let's get into this, Pat. We talked about Mirfield Village a little bit on the DFS show. Let's hear about it. And we also heard from a couple caddies on the grounds that walked it today. They've made a lot of renovations to the golf course. You can feel free to pass that information on if you want, or I can later, but tell us about Mirfield Village.
Yeah, so we did talk extensively about the course on the DFS show, but it is Mirfield Village Golf Club. It is a par 72 playing just over 7,500 yards, which is about 100 yards longer than it has been playing, because that's about what they added to this course with the renovations. You got 120 players this week. It is an invitational, just like we had last week. T65 and ties will make the cut, which means you're going to have a lot more that make the cut this week. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot from your betting picks, but it does in DFS. You know, these greens have always been pretty undulating greens, and they haven't really changed a ton as far as that's concerned. There is a lot of undulation still, but they're all new, pretty much all new. I think they changed 14 of 18 greens, totally redid them. Bent grass greens, they've got sub air under almost all of them now. So they've got that there. They've got this Kentucky bluegrass rough, bent grass fairways. Everything has pretty much been redone on this entire golf course, but I still think it's going to play pretty similar to how it has in the past. It's always been a second shot golf course, strokes gained approach, ball striking. Those are going to be key this week. But I do think you want to look at your good putters on bent grass greens. Because Jack always wants to get this course tough, you know? He wants some putting firm. He wants some putting fast. Like I said, a lot of undulation. I do think if you miss these greens, you do need to be pretty good at scrambling, because I think they're going to have the rough pretty high here in this Kentucky bluegrass rough. And they've narrowed the fairways a little bit here with the renovation. So they're not playing quite as wide as they have been in the past. I think that's something we're going to look at, driving accuracy. Good drives gained, which is a fantasy national stat. I mentioned ball striking. That's another stat I'm looking at. And I'm going to still look at course history. Maybe not quite as much this year. But like I said, I do think the course is going to play, you know, as a stern test, like it always does, and still pretty similar. Your past champions, John Rahm in 2020 won at 9 under. Patrick Cantlay at 19 under in 2019. Bryson DeChambeau, 15 under. He won in 2018. Duff Daddy, Jason Duffner, 13 under in 2017. And old Dirt McGirt, William McGirt, in 2016, won at 15 under. So,
nice.
There you go.
Did hear from a couple caddies that walked the course today. Here's a couple quotes. This place is definitely more of a ball striker's course now than just a pure bomber's track. So, you know, I know Jack added some trees, maybe a little tighter in some places. And then he says, a little easier to get up and down than in the past, not as penal if you miss the greens. They took out some crazy slopes on some greens, and they added a little slope where they needed to on others. But overall, easier to get up and down. So, there you go. Sorry, I burped up my pirate booty there. And but yeah, there's some information from the ground. We'll have a lot more of that in the Nut Hut. For those of you in the Nut Hut, we'll have some more of that chatter and more information from our caddy friends on the ground at Jack's place. Should be a great time. I'm excited about it, buddy. Yeah, I kind of looked at strokes gained approach, obviously, is the number one. It's most important. Driving accuracy, I think, is also important. You got to be in the fairway here. Strokes gained around the green. I looked at strokes gained ball striking at Mirfield Village over the last 24 rounds, specifically at Mirfield Village, to see who tee to green plays this place really well, because the finish position doesn't always tell the story of how they got there. So I did look at that. Yeah, I'm ready to go, man. Good drives gained. That's a proprietary fantasy national stat. I like that one here, because the fairways are still a little wider here at Mirfield. They're not like Harbor Town tight. So good drives gained. You know, did they get it? Did they hit it in the fairway, or did they miss the fairway, but they still were able to get it on the green in regulation with their next shot? I like that stat at Fantasy National. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. You definitely have an interesting mix here. You mentioned the past champions. Definitely a mix of in terms of odds. You know, you had John Rahm, obviously shorter number there. But Jason Duffner, William McGirt, like pretty long, David Lingmerth, some pretty long shot bombs.
David Lingmerth. I forgot he won this.
Yeah, you remember he won this? Like pretty long bombs have hit here at Muirfield Village, which is very interesting because, it's, you know, strong a field as it is, everybody wants to win Jack's event. You can come out here and you know, shock the world. So I'll be looking at that when it comes to, you know, reaching down in the depths of the triple digit range, both on this show and on my written article on tourjunkies.com, DB's Big Balls betting card. Something to pay attention to. Also something to pay attention to, Pat, and I know you've been paying more attention to it, is your overall health. You know what I mean? You wanted to get healthier. You want to start working out. And our friends at Golf Forever hooked you up. You wanted something that you could do from home on your own time, right? And you didn't need like gym equipment or a membership. And Golf Forever assigns you new workouts and exercises to do every day. And it's great because you don't really know what to do other than that. You know what I mean? They can be, you know, you don't need a lot of equipment. You can do it in your living room. Super easy. And if you want to get in better shape or you just want to improve the way you feel during or after a round of golf and you want to play Golf Forever, which all of us want to be able to do, go to golfforever.com and enter promo code TOUR99 to get Golf Forever's membership for just $99 a year. It saves you $51 because you're a tour junkie. That's it. $51. It saves you that. That's TOUR99. Golf Forever was co-created by major champion Justin Leonard and Dr. Jeremy James. And features biomechanic experts that work with five players ranked in the top 30 world golf rankings, Mr. Dr. Troy Van Beesen, okay? And the app, the Golf Forever app, delivers recommended daily exercise routines and a library of over 500 videos if you just want to search and do your own thing. So head over to golfforever.com, use promo code TOUR99, and save $51 off the yearly plan. It's good stuff, man. Get yourself more flexible. Get yourself more bendy, you know? Everybody needs to be more bendy. People are too not bendy these days, too stiff. You got to be bendier. You know what I mean?
That's a strength of mine is flexibility. Surprisingly enough.
I just got Casamigos up my nose. Really? Are you flexible?
Yeah, it goes back to my gymnastics days.
Oh God, I forgot you were in gymnastics.
Do you remember? I will never forget this. Like I don't. There's certain comments that I just never forget.
Shocker! You're so and always offended at something.
No, and I remember this. We were playing in my memory guest actually at the Landings. This was like 2 or 3 years ago.
I cannot believe whatever you're about to say. This is amazing to me. Go ahead.
When we were about to tee off on the first hole for the day, and you took a video, of course, you took a video, and I was stretching, and your wife, Mrs. Domination, sent an Instagram message, and she said, you could go back and ask her. She said, "I am like basically, I don't know word for word, but it's like I'm shocked at how flexible Pat is."
I guarantee you she will not remember saying that, but it's hilarious that you remember her telling you that.
Yeah.
My word. Well, good, man. I'm glad about that for you.
Flexibility is key on the golf. Like, you don't have to have a whole lot of strength, but if you got some flexibility, you can play golf well.
Good Lord.
Anyway, let's get on to the pick.
What are we even doing? If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching live. And if you're not watching live, still thank you. I want you to comment because we're about to get into this after the betting talk. We're going to talk about the Brooks-Bryson thing. In the comment section, are you Team Brooks or are you Team Bryson or are you neither? And do you think it was staged? Do you think the whole thing is a plot, is a coup, you know, a coup d'etat? Leave that in the comments on YouTube. It helps us out. It helps the algorithm. You know, the mysterious algorithm pushes us. The more you comment, that helps us out. We would appreciate you doing that. It's a little thing you can do. It just takes a couple seconds. Knock that out. Team Brooks, Team Bryson, is it staged? Is it all a coup? What do you think? We're going to get to that in just a little bit. All right, Pat, let's talk about the betting market here. Let's look at outright bets. Top of the betting board is John Rahm on DraftKings Sportsbook as well as PointsBet. Now then, you got some differences here. Differences of opinion between DK and PointsBet. PointsBet would have it go John Rahm And then Bryson and Jordan at 14-1. And then Rory at 16-1. Morikawa and JT and Victor Hovland at 17-1. But now DraftKings has John Rahm at 11.5-1 as your favorite. And then they go Victor Hovland and JT at 15-1. Rory at 16.5. Morikawa 16.5. Xander and Spieth at 16.5. Followed by Cantlay at 17 and Bryson all the way down at 18.5 on DK Sportsbook, but 14-1 on PointsBet. So some differences of opinion here. I'm not buying the Bryson DeChambeau play, although the 18.5 number is a little tempting. What are you going to do up top?
Well, I actually like the Bryson play
what?
At 18.5-1. Now, I didn't like him on DFS because I think his ownership will be a little bit higher. But I think Bryson, if you're getting him at 18.5-1, I'm fine with it. I think you take it. I think you jump on it at 18.5-1. He's won here before, obviously. Now, I do think the stats
that was
lately
when he
aren't
was a, that was when he was little, though. He was not on steroids.
Yeah, it is different than, yeah. He wasn't putting a needle in his ass
like Kenny Powers.
At that point. But still, I think that's a good number for him. So I like Bryson there. But my favorite number is Xander, you know, at 16.5-1. I like Xander Schauffele this week a lot. I mentioned him on the DFS.
He's 20-1 on points bet, buddy. He's 20-1 on points bet.
Okay, well, I'll take him at 20-1 on points bet. I'm just giving you the DraftKings Sportsbook number. But yeah, I'll take him at 20-1 on points bet, even more so.
That's why I got to have more than one book, people. And listen, if you're in New Jersey or in, I think, Indiana, Colorado, or maybe one other place, I can't remember. If you're in any of those places and you want to open up an account with these points better DraftKings Sportsbook, head over to tourjunkies.com and click on the Sportsbook page and get you an offer. You know what I mean? There's something you can do. All right, so you're going Xander at 20-1, huh?
Yeah,
I like it. I like Xander here. I'm pretty tempted by Morikawa at 17-1 on points bet. And Patrick Cantlay at 20-1, right there next to your boy Xander at on points bet. So points bet's kind of the better number here in the shorter range. I think that's going to change as we work down the betting board here on DraftKings. But I love Morikawa. The approach play is just so freaking solid. The iron play continues to be so solid. Now, he won here at Jack's Place the week before the Memorial when we played the workday here, but it was set up much different. We didn't really talk about that on this show, but the 2020 Memorial was set up to be pretty freaking tough. And this golf course can get pretty tough. So I think Jack's going to have it play tough. I don't know that it's going to play as difficult as it did last year, but Morikawa at 17-1 is pretty tempting the way those irons are rolling. He just needs to have a few putts drop in the hole and he's there. He can run away with one. And then Cantlay's coming around. I've been on him for a few weeks. I was on him at the PGA. I was a believer at the PGA. He played great there. The irons that we've always known to be so solid are now trending in the right direction. If you look over the last 24 rounds, where he was ranked when you look at that range, it was not great. As you get to the last 12, the last 8, and the last 4 rounds at the PGA, he is markedly better. He's trending in the right direction with the irons. Now he arrives at a place that he's got a tremendous record at. He gained strokes at Muirfield Village like crazy. Loves this place. I love the value at 20-1 on Patrick Cantlay. I think that's going to get shorter. Moving down the board, I like two guys at 30-1. Well, no, yeah. No, I'm just going to go one guy at 30-1. What if Hideki Matsuyama won at Jack's Place? You know what I mean?
He could. He's got the perfect game.
He's played here so well. He's done very good here. Hideki has. Let me pull up Hideki real quick. In the last 24 rounds at Jack's Place specifically, strokes gained ball striking. So that's off the tee and approach. He's 23rd in this field in that category. Hideki's built for this place. Like, you don't have to be super long. You just have to hit fairways, which he does. You have to hit greens in regulation, which he does. You got to drop a few putts, which he doesn't. But we know he can. He just won on bent grass at Augusta National. And actually, kind of surprised me with how well he played at the PGA. I wasn't expecting him to play that great. He made the cut at the Byron Nelson, that kind of shaking the rust off. Then he finishes T23 at the PGA. I wasn't expecting it, but here he is. He's back. Like he's a hardworking dude. 30-1 is an interesting number, and I like it. So I'm gonna go with Hideki. As you work down the board, where are you going?
Well, I don't mind Hideki there. I think that's a good number. I really like Joaquin Neiman at 50-1. That's where he is on points bet. Now he's just shorter on DraftKings. He is at 35-1 on DraftKings. So you're getting him at a pretty good number there, I think. At 50-1 for Joaquin Neiman. I mentioned on the DFS show, I like him there. You know, great ball striker, great approach play. I think this is a good course fit for him. So I'm a big fan of Neiman here at in the middle range here at 50-1. Don't really have anybody though shorter in like in between like the Xander 20-1. I don't mind Hideki there. You know, you got guys like Connors and Oosthuizen and Fitzpatrick and Reed and whatever else. I just don't like any of them this week. So I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, I got a lot more names written down here in like the 50-85-1 range. So I'm with you there. Let me give you a few here. I'm gonna start with Shane Lowry. I'm a big Shane Lowry believer this week. He checks every single box. Strokes gain approach. Strokes gain ball striking here at Mirrorfield Village. He's done very well. Tee to green here. Strokes gain off the tee. Strokes gain around the green. Great scrambler. Good drives gained. Finding fairways. Shane Lowry's doing that. And the form is good. T4 at the PGA. T9 at the Heritage. I mean, I think Shane Lowry is a very solid bet, and he's 60-1 on DraftKings Sportsbook. He's won a WGC. He's won a major. Like, he's won big tournaments before. This is not above Shane Lowry in terms of just strength of field and competitive nature of this event. I love him at 60-1. I'm going to give you an off-the-wall pick here. I didn't give you – I don't know. I don't know if I did. I don't know if I gave you any off-the-wall picks in the DFS side. But I'm going to give you an absolute just holy, crap balls moment at 70-1, a Georgia Bulldog, Russell Henley.
Ooh.
Kick me in the dick. I don't know. Just kick me. But dude, I mean, how sexy is his ball striking? It's so good. Opportunities gained, fourth in the field. Approach play, 23rd in the field. Good drives gained, seventh in the field. He just cannot putt, which is unfreaking believable to me. But he actually does gain strokes on bent grass, okay? He did gain strokes at the PGA Championship. He gained one stroke, which is a great, that's an improvement over what he's been doing. And it's like he has these weeks where he'll go a few weeks in a row losing strokes big time, and then bang, like he'll gain eight strokes, right? In the fall of 2020, he was losing strokes, and then all of a sudden he came to the CJ Cup, and he gained 9 strokes putting. And he finished third. And then he got on a little like medium run of being at least positive, but barely getting over one stroke gained. And then all of a sudden at the Honda this year, he gained 8.2 and finished third again. Like it just all of a sudden it pops up. But what we see, because his ball striking is so good, if the putting can if he can just have one hot week, he's got top 10 after top 10, top 5 after top 5. Like he can do it. And he could possibly pop up here and win it. So at 70-1, I might just throw a little quarter unit on Russell Henley just to piss it away. But it's tempting to me. Very tempting to me. All right, hit me with a couple others in the mid range.
Okay. Well, I mentioned again.
No thoughts on Russell Henley, by the way. Does that just terrify you? What do you think about
that? No, I don't mind it. Well, I'm about to throw something out even more terrifying. Oh. I mean, it's like like some King Kong terrifying coming
King
on you
Kong
here.
Terrifying.
Why?
Watching some King Kong lately. I don't know. Charlie Hoffman at 55-1. I mean, look, Charlie Hoffman has just been absolutely incredible with his irons lately. Everything about his game is just pointing towards he should have a win here at any time. So I like Charlie Hoffman at 55-1. I like Gary Woodland also at 66-1. He's a guy we've seen trending in the right direction as well. This is a good course fit for him. He has a pretty decent history here. Finished well here when the at the Workday Championship last year. I think he had a T5 finish. So Gary Woodland, I just like the direction he's going right now, and I will take him at 66-1. And then here's where I'm going to throw a little shocker at you, DB.
Ooh, the shocker.
I don't like him really in DFS because I don't like – I think his price is still a little bit too high.
Okay.
But we saw some things from him at the PGA Championship that were very positive. He gained 9 strokes total in that event. 4.6 strokes from tee to green. He gained 4.5 strokes on approach. 2.2 strokes around the green, and 4.4 strokes putting.
Pretty good.
He is also a pretty good putter in general on bent grass greens. He is at 75-1, mm-hmm. and he has a pretty good history playing on this course.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Don't. Is it Schwartzel?
It is not.
Okay, I don't know.
And we even have heard from his coach
that
his game is almost there, and it's coming around.
Is this Ricky?
Ricky Fowler, 75-1.
What? Dude,
75-1. It keeps getting longer. It gets longer. I talked to about him like a few weeks, months ago, and he was at 50-1 or 40-1 or whatever. But I like Ricky Fowler at 75-1. You know, and it would be a great story if he won. We've seen guys like Jordan Spieth find his game. Ricky, I think finishing that top 10 in the PGA on a very difficult course, on a very difficult day. Now he did start a little bit earlier, and so he didn't have it quite as difficult as some of those afternoon guys. But we've seen some things from Ricky lately. So I like him. I like him at 75-1. Now, if you don't want to bet him at 75-1, you can also get him as a top 20 bet. I think I wrote this down somewhere, but no. I can't even remember what the top 20 bet is. But anyway, bet him top 20.
Dude, like, I think I kind of like it, man. And honestly, I didn't even look at him. I didn't even see his name. I scrolled and never saw him, and his name never registered in my COVID fog brain. But I kind of like it at 75-1. If only for he's 5. Producer Sam, thank you. He's 5-1 on DK for a top 20. I love. Yeah. I actually love that. I kind of like it, man.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think the PGA was a big confidence booster for him. I think we did talk to his coach, talking about how he's coming. Does have a really solid record here at Jack's Place. And wouldn't it just be the 2020-2021 season for Ricky to win? I mean, you've got the resurgent, we talked about it last week, resurgent old guys, right? The storylines. You got Phil, the PGA. You got Jordan coming back. And then if Ricky won, I mean, Ricky winning a major would be the biggest thing, but obviously this is not a major, but this is a big event. This is a big event. It would just be pretty freaking special. And it's 75-1. Now, DFS, I'm a full-on fade at 8,000.
I don't like him at 8,000 there. But I think 75-1 number is
dude, I like that.
It's appealing.
I actually like that. I think that's very, very nice. That's a good find by you. Dude, I'm telling you, I scrolled in it. I never saw his name. Literally never saw
it. He just wouldn't.
But I didn't see it. There's a life lesson in that. You know what I mean? There's things in life that are there, and you just don't see them. You got to see them. You got to open up your eyeballs. You know, some things that some guys are starting to see is wrinkles on their face, or maybe some acne scars, or maybe your skin is real dry. Maybe you play golf a lot and you don't protect your skin. The guys on the PGA Tour protect their skin, right? You should. You golf in the sun. The sun is not your friend. So whether you're tackling dry skin or acne scars, wrinkles, you just want to do some healthy skin. You need to do some healthy. This is the product we would use, and that's our friends at Caldera Labs. Okay, Caldera Lab They produce a new multifunctional face serum called The Good. That's all you need to know, really. Mm. I could honestly just stop the whole thing right now and just say, go. I could just say.
Anything called The Good is.
Yeah, I could just say, go ahead good. To Caldera Lab, buy The Good, and enter discount code TORJUNKIES at checkout. And that's all you need to know. You shouldn't need to hear anything else because it's called The Good. Like, that's freaking, that's a killer name. But in just a couple weeks, your skin can be much smoother and firmer. You want firm skin. You want tight, right? You want like fresh, tight baby skin. Soft, but tight. You know what I mean? My wife has a nightly facial routine, and she always gets on to me because I never do anything about my face. And she's like, oh, I'm going to be wrinkle-free for you when we're old, but you're not going to be wrinkle-free for me. You don't love me. And now that I'm using this Caldera Lab serum, and
wow,
I just...
wrinkles in love. I didn't even know that was
that. Yeah, that's the thing. And now I use the Caldera Lab serum. I just put the dropper on, and I put it on my face, and now she's like, it kind of turns her on a little bit. She's like, oh, okay, now you're taking care of your face. I like that. It just works, man. Best of all, you can try it 100% risk-free. If you don't love it, they'll refund you in full. That's good stuff. So head over to Caldera Lab, that's CALDERALAB, and enter promo code TORJUNKIES at checkout. All one word, promo code TORJUNKIES. As a listener, you get 20% off your first Caldera Lab purchase. That's CALDERALAB. Get yourself .com. Get yourself some of that good, you know what I mean? And just try that. It's good stuff. I have one more guy before we get to the triple digits, and that's Matt Wallace. And I'm going to keep saying his name, and people are going to roll their eyes, and people are going to be like, oh, God, here's DB. Talk about Matt Wallace again. But, I mean, damn it, if Matt Wallace is not continuing to check all the boxes. Now, last couple of events, he's kind of flamed out a little bit. I'm a little concerned about the two events in a row with negative strokes gained on approach when before he was kind of killing that. But I'm still believing, and the number is actually gone up. We've been betting him at 70 to 1 the last couple weeks. Now he's at 85 to 1. Now obviously it's a stronger field, but I can't. Matt, he's doing too many things really, really well. His first time here last year in 2020, he finished fourth in a very difficult test. I love Matt Wallace here. I think 85 to 1. Why would I stop betting him now? I'm not gonna. So there you go. Triple digit range, if we're talking about that, my boy HV3 at 125 to 1. Now this would be a heck of a breakout victory on the PGA Tour because he doesn't have one, but he's come really close. He's come close in tough fields, tough events. Riviera, he should have won. Had him at 100 to 1 there when he topped a 3-wood off the tee on the back nine on Sunday. We won't talk about that. He just finished runner up at Harbortown, a tight place where you got to hit some fairways, you got to hit greens and reg. He's playing well right now. We just need him to drop a few putts. I love HV3 at 125 to 1. I think there's a long shot value there. Patton Kizzire at 140 to 1. The guy's coming off a back-to-back top tie for that's a weird statement to say. Back-to-back T3s. That's just weird. He's coming off of back-to-back T3s. You know, he's a little erratic off the tee at times, but the good drives gained number, he's 38th in the field and good drives gained over the last 24 rounds. So he may not hit all the fairways, but he doesn't miss it by much. He's a pretty good putter on bent grass. The approach play's coming around for Patton Kizzire. He's killing it on that in the last couple of events. He's a two-time PGA Tour winner with two back-to-back, you know, top three finishes, like at 140 to 1 on DraftKings Sportsbook. That is mooey long. You know what I mean? That's mooey long. And then finally, I'm going to give you a guy we didn't talk about on the DFS show, Pat. Did not talk about him. But I'll tell you what, he plays well on difficult golf courses. He is 11th in opportunities gained on that's a proprietary Fantasy National stat in the last 24 rounds. He's 22nd in strokes gained off the tee, 29th in strokes gained around the green. He is a lot like our boy Russell Henley. He just needs to make a few putts, and that is Mr. Aaron Wise at 160 to 1. PGA Tour winner, Aaron Wise. He's a terrible freaking putter, okay? But he's a boomer bust guy. Boomer bust guy, and I'm gonna at 160 to 1, I'm willing to take the gamble on him. And I think I'll play a little Aaron Wise. Now he's a bomber, but he plays these tighter, shorter, difficult courses pretty well. So I'll go with Aaron Wise 160 to 1.
Okay. A few for me. One I'll just say that I just noticed was you kind of brought him up to me when I was talking about Ricky Fowler, but that was Charles Schwartzel earlier. You know, a guy that's been playing really well recently. Now, he is 175-1 on the DraftKings Sportsbook, but 100-1 on PointsBet. So there is a big difference there. I mean, if you can get Charles on PointsBet, I mean, on DraftKings at 175-1, That is a damn good number for a guy we've seen play well lately. He's contended even. I like him.
Here's the thing that I think, like, I'm putting myself in the listener's position right now, Pat. If you're listening to this going, Charles Schwartzel, what are we talking about? David Lingmerth, William McGirt have won this event.
Yeah.
And they both won it when it was an invitational. Like, this wasn't some second-tier event on the PGA Tour. This has been a top-tier event on the PGA Tour for years. William McGirt, David Lingmerth. So it's not like they weren't playing against the best in the world. They were. So these guys can do it. Charles Schwartzel could have a resurgent win with his goofy hat.
He could do it. Yeah, he could. He really could. Also, I like some Taylor Gooch, though, at 110-1. I talked about him also on the DFS show. Look, this guy has been playing just fantastic golf lately. You know, I think this is a great fit for him. You look across the board, really, at the stats for that I have sort of lined up for Taylor Gooch. I mean, top 30 in the field in ball striking, approach, par five scoring, top 40 in putting on bent grass greens, checked a box and good drives gained, also in scrambling. So really, like, you know, Jack Nicklaus talked about this course challenging every aspect of your game. Taylor Gooch has all of that going for him. Now, he doesn't have, you know, the greatest history here, but he did play the Workday Championship last year, and I believe finished in the top 20. Could be wrong. Yep, top 20 last year in the Workday. So I think Taylor Gooch makes a lot of sense. And then if you don't like him there, this is kind of a transition, DB. This is called a transition into some top 20 bets.
Oh, I see you what
you're
doing.
You can get Taylor Gooch at 3-1. So plus 300 just to finish top 20. So if you don't want to, you know, do that 110-1 bet, then take him at 3-1.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a great transition, Pat, setting up the top 20s here. I'm going to do something I haven't done on the show, because normally, you know, we do top 20s, we do longer stuff, right? But I know people are like, I need winners, and I have a big bankroll, and I need shorter numbers. You know, I don't always want your long shot bullshit, you know, stuff. So I do have a couple shorties. I got a couple shorties that I feel really good about. I know I just kind of sprung that on you, but Keegan Bradley, I feel good about as a top 20. He's plus 150. Okay. Keegan has been a ball striking machine since he came out of the womb, you know, really, really he has been. But especially this year, he's really been doing it. Plus 150, it feels good. Matt Wallace, I already talked about him. He's 2-1. That one feels good. As we get into the longer numbers, I talked about HV3. I talked about Kizire. HV3 is 3.5-1. Kizire is 4-1. I actually had Charles Schwartzel written down. He's 5-1. I think that's actually that's a really good value for Schwartzel, 5-1. I like that one. And then finally, I'm going to give you Peter Malnati at 10-1. That was what we call a long shot in the business. Now, in 2019, he finished T17 at this event. Peter Malnati did. Pat. Yeah, I finished T17. Do you know that? You probably did not. Peter is known as a accurate player, hits fairways and hits and makes a ton of putts. He's a very good putter, but the irons are trending for Peter Malnati. That's something that I noticed. Is if you look over the last 24 rounds, where is he? He was 70. He'd be 76th in this field in the last 24 rounds. You look in the last 8 rounds, 47th. You look in the last 4 rounds, 39th. Irons have been doing okay. Malnati's turning around. He's trending. You know, irons are okay. He hits a lot of fairways. He always makes putts. 10-1 is a top 20. Could be a thing. It's a bomb, but it's something I'm looking at. That's it.
All right, a few top 20s for me outside of Taylor Gooch. I always want to bet and play Lucas Glover. I don't think he can win.
You kind of do.
I need to stop thinking that he can win, but maybe he can. I don't know. But you're getting Lucas Glover at plus 335. I like that number. This is a great fit for him. He's been playing extremely well recently. Checks a ton of boxes. So at plus 335 for a top 20, I like Lucas Glover. I will play him. And here's another guy that I can't ever get right as far as winning, and I just don't know if he's ever going to win. And as a matter of fact, I've gone on record as saying this guy will never win you any money. Well, I think if you actually can play him in the right spots, and that's at 5-1,
I guess.
Luke List for a top 20, I think makes some sense here.
You literally said 2 weeks ago he will never make anybody any money, and here you are.
Well, I'm saying he's going to make you money for a top 20 bet. I found a bet where he can make you money.
I mean, top 20's been around for a minute, I'm pretty sure.
I know, but yeah, just for some reason, the epiphany just struck me for Luke List to finish top 20 this week. He has a top 10 here, by the way, last year. So it's not like he can't do it. So I like him. And then Brendan Steele, his wonderful swing and all that you love. At 7-1 plus 700, I think it's also a good play here as a top 20.
All right, there you go. There you have it. Outright's top 20s. I will have DB's Big Balls betting card published on tourjunkies.com for free on Wednesday by noon at the latest. So get that. Pat will have Pat's Not That Anyone Really Cares betting card published on Twitter and in the Nut Hut late on Wednesday. We'll be in the Nut Hut chatting it up with everybody on Wednesday. We'll get a feel for tee time advantages, weather, everything's shaking out throughout the week. So we'll have a little better understanding of what's going on there. For now, Pat, let's get into the hottest topic of the week, really, of the last week, and that has been the Brooks Koepka Bryson DeChambeau beef, if you will. Just want to throw our two cents in there because, I mean, it's not like, you can't find this in every effing corner of the internet right now. So we figured we want to get in on the action. Bryson is very much talked about on this podcast, as is Brooks. You know, we've had interactions with Brooks. Brooks has been an interview on the show a long time ago. We had Brooks on the show. You can go listen to that on wherever you listen to podcasts. It's not on YouTube, but it is on all our podcast sources. I famously asked Brooks a question in the press room at the Players Championship in 2020 that he kind of alpha'd me a little bit, but that's kind of what he does. But it's a Brooks Bryson debate, I'm not going to recap what all happened, but we all know that Brooks, in this interview that was leaked by Golf Channel, clearly thinks Bryson is a total tool, okay? So you had the whole thing, you had the whole video get released, 9 million views or whatever in like 24 hours. Then you had the match was announced where Brooks tweeted at Aaron Rodgers and said, sorry, bro, because he's got to play with Bryson. Then Bryson fires back with the old, glad to know I'm living in your head, rent-free, Brooks, that no one has ever thought of before. That was a new one. My favorite part is Bryson's, right after it all dropped, we find Bryson on his Instagram stories doing this. What is that? Like, what were those things? Those were not curls. Also, that was really loud. I'm sorry. Those were not curls. Those were, I'm not really sure what those were, but he's doing those. You had Jenna's coffee on her Instagram story where they put Bryson's face in her coffee. The video gets taken down. There was the video going around of at the PGA about fans calling Bryson Brooksy, telling him good job, Brooksy.
Love that one.
That really pissed him off. But these guys have a history. You had Brooks calling him out in 2019 for slow play. You had Bryson making the Brooks doesn't have abs, I have abs comment. You had Brooks saying, well, I got these trophies. I'm on my way to a six pack. You had Brooks tweeting the Kenny Powers on steroids gif, which I'm a huge Eastbound and Down fan all of a sudden now. So I love that. All kinds of stuff. Actually, I found one today that I didn't know even existed, Pat. I don't even know that you know this.
No.
Did you know that in November, Brooks Brooks, Barstool Sports, Brooks FaceTimed Big Cat from Pardon My Take. What is going on? What is producer Sam doing? Brooks FaceTimed Big Cat during a 51 Strokes podcast recording with Caleb Presley. And did you know that at one point, Brooks said, he said to Caleb Presley, he said, "Oh, if you're gonna work with Bryson's coach and be affiliated with Bryson, are you gonna wear a paperboy hat?" A paperboy hat. I freaking love that. So there's a lot of beef here. There's a lot of beef. So I guess the question is, Pat, do you think it's real? Do you think the beef is real? Or is this a play for the player impact program money? Who wins in a fight, in a real fight? What do you think about the whole situation? Throw in your two cents. Let's hear it.
Oh, you ask a lot in that one question. That was a three-parter, I believe. And here's the thing. I do think that it's real. I do think it got a little bit more contrived after it kind of started. You know, with some of the tweeting back and forth, especially with, you know, the Phil Mickelson match with Aaron Rodgers and Brady and Bryson and, you know, Brooks throughout that. I think that part of it with those tweets was a little more contrived. I think the original thing, though, with the video that happened at the PGA Championship where Bryson walks by and, you know, Brooks just has a great all-time demeanor, like just the eye roll. And then, like, just can't even go forward with his interview and has to stop and then say something about, like, I can't just with all that bullshit going on or whatever he said. Like, that was great. And I think that was very genuine. But I do think it got a little bit contrived after that. And it probably had to do something with the player impact program for the PGA Tour that they've got going on with social media and whatever else. But the questions are always, you know, are you team Bryson or are you team Brooks? I am definitely team Brooks, even though he changed. Like, look, Brooks, there was a 24-hour period where I couldn't stand Brooks because of what he said.
Yeah, it did only last 24 hours, though. I'm with you. I didn't like his response to the PGA, but then this happened. I'm like, okay, I'm back in.
Yeah, I was like back in on Brooks, and I like his attitude. He just doesn't give a damn and whatever else. But there's a part of me that just feels like this is like we're at Panama City Beach, and Bryson is a Sigma Kappa, and Brooks is a Kappa Nu or some crap, and they like have this like beef against each other, and they're gonna have a fight on Panama City Beach on those white sandy beaches with their White Claws in their hands and whatever else is, and they can't, and they just chug beers, and they got problems with each other, but they don't even really know why. But one of them is just going to be petty about this. And there's something about it. This is like a frat boy standoff that really kind of,
Brooks is wearing like a seashell anklet and, and Bryson's wearing a tank.
But Bryson's like he's part of like the fraternity that loves to like work out a ton, and Brooks still does that. But they have the hotter looking girls in their fraternity.
Yeah.
But and so Bryson's probably a little jealous of that. But he's still like going to just show off his muscles and everything. Like that's the whole vibe I get between the two, and it's kind of off putting. It's a little bit off-putting.
It kind of is. Speaking of vibe, like if you watch Bryson's YouTube videos, which I do because I look for reasons to go off on Bryson, but he's hanging out with what they look like high school kids. I know they're not, and I'm getting old. That's why I'm 37. They all start looking like they look younger and younger the older I get. But he's like hanging out with this little fraternity of guys that like, you know, shit and giggle all over themselves with everything he says and does. It's just kind of weird. I feel like the disdain for Bryson is real from Brooks, okay?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I think the disdain for Brooks from Bryson is not real. I think Bryson is a guy that wants to be liked by everyone.
I agree.
There are some people who just, they care to be liked by everyone. I tend to not be that guy and don't really care to be that guy. I don't think Brooks is that guy. I think Brooks is perfectly fine if you don't like him. I genuinely do.
Oh, he definitely does not give
but
a
Brooks,
shit.
But Brooks or like Bryson him. Wants everybody to like him. But then when he finds a guy like Brooks, who's kind of an alpha dog, who's you know on his level, who's a major champion multiple times, like who's doing his thing, he's gonna fight back because that's all he can really do. He doesn't have a choice. It's not like he's gonna win him over. Like Bryson's not gonna win him over. So he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll get in the fight and do my thing. I don't know. I don't think either one of these guys are doing anything to this point for the Pip money. To this point, I don't think any of it's been thought. I don't think it's been thought that far through. I think both of them are making so much damn money. I don't know how much they've even thought about it anyway, honestly. They'll be in the
well,
running.
Well, do we think they're even thinking this through? Like, both of their minds
That's what
are,
I'm saying. I don't know they
they're,
are.
They're simple-minded individuals. Even though Bryson is supposed to be so smart, I feel like part of his mind is as simple as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think either one of them are. Like, I don't think this is a coup to like work a, you know, a Pip thing into their favor. I don't believe that that's happening. I think there is some genuine dislike there on Brooks's end. There is zero chance the USGA pairs them together in the US Open. There's zero chance the PGA Tour pairs them together by choice on Thursday or Friday. We just have to all pray and hope that they finish in the correct order on Saturday and Sunday to get paired together and have a little drama. The Ryder Cup is obviously going around. That whole thing's going around. They won't be paired together in the Ryder Cup. I do think there is some legitimate dislike. I just don't think Brooks likes him, and I don't blame him. I'm team Brooks in this situation, even though, yes, for like 24 hours, I kind of didn't like. We talked about it a little bit on last week's show. For about 24 hours, I thought Brooks got kind of out-alphaed by Phil and became the beta for a minute. But I'm kind of back in, and I'm never going to be a Team Bryson guy. There's literally not a chance I'm going to be a Team Bryson. He can go back to his house in Dallas and play around with his little high school, maybe barely out of high school buddies, and, you know, play Fortnite and make videos about his life and hit balls really hard and far on his simulator. And Brooks, in the meantime... I mean, this is what Bryson's doing right now. If you're watching on YouTube, here's Bryson playing ping pong.
The ping pong simulator.
Yeah, here's Bryson.
I actually am impressed, but like, I wouldn't mind. Like, if I was bored one night and I wanted to play some ping pong with myself,
yeah,
I would like to have that machine.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I guess I would too. I just would never. I would never put it on YouTube ever. But I mean, here he is. Anyway, and Bryson's doing. I mean, Brooks is doing things with his girl. And just doing this. Apparently, Bryson has a girlfriend, but very few people can confirm. All right, that's enough of that. That's it. That you've heard plenty of takes on that. Maybe ours was unique. Maybe it wasn't. Thanks for watching. Thanks for hanging out with the Tour Junkies, bringing you the betting picks that you need for the Memorial. Don't forget to check out TourJunkies.com, DB's Big Balls betting card. And make sure you join the Nut Hut. We'll be chatting it up in there. It'll be a good time. Thanks for everybody watching. Don't forget in the YouTube comments, are you team Brooks or are you team Bryson or are you team neither? And do you think that it's all made up or not? Give us your thoughts in the comments. Help us out. And have a great week. All right? Let's win one. We need one. Let's get a hit this week. All right? I would love it to be I'd love it to be Aaron Wise at 160-1. That'd be a Dirt McGirt kind of hit. Actually, probably be a little better. Dirt McGirt must have been like 400-1. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Have a great week for the Memorial. See ya. Out.